Today on Real Radio.
Are you tired in the land of peace? What are you going to do when the chariots arrive? What are you going to do when it gets tough? Jack, you're not encouraging me. Our culture's changing. Our culture's changing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Exactly what does it mean to be prepared for college? Well, obviously, first things first, you got to study hard, prepare for the entrance exams, and fulfill all the additional requirements just to get in. But for the believer, it's much more than that. It's also preparing your mind for what's coming. It's no secret that a lot of campuses these days are hotbeds for hostility to those of us who hold strong to the Christian faith. Pastor Jack addresses these issues in a series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. And here he is now, pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But you are a Christian and you reside in America. And what does all that mean? Because if we apply the things that we've been talking about, God is removed from the factor. But I want to argue with you about that. And we won't spend much time because we have a long way to go tonight. You guys want to put that slide up or those slides up if you would? This is America. You guys know him? He's about 20 feet tall. That's Thomas Jefferson. Next slide. And by the way, come talk to me about how wrong these guys were when you can speak 7 different languages and create a country, a nation. Okay? Because frankly, I love all of you, but these guys' brains trump yours and their influence trumps ours as well. Listen. See, I don't agree with Thomas Jefferson. I'm not asking you that. I'm just asking you to read some of his comments. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? And he goes on to speak as that descends to the fact that we better be careful how we consider God in our culture. Next panel. By the way, for those of you who've been to Washington, this is obviously the Jefferson Memorial. Next panel. By the way, those panels are huge. They are, I'm guessing, they're about that big. So what is that, 25 feet or so? I don't know. How big is that? That's big. Look how little I am over here. So it's big. It's big. And what does he say again on one of the panels here? Almighty God hath created the mind free. And he goes on to talk. Look, the holy author of our religion, Thomas Jefferson, a learned man. A brilliant man. I've been to his house. Sounds funny, huh? I've been to Thomas Jefferson's house. And his little recreational library, he had 6,800 books. And Thomas Jefferson, when he completed reading the book, he signed the back end of it. Guess what? Every one of those books are signed by Thomas Jefferson. Next slide. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are what? Created equal. That they are endowed by their what? Creator with certain inalienable rights. And he goes on to talk. This is one of our founders talking about God. Very important. Unfortunately, in our world today, our culture doesn't understand this or know this. We're seeing a great culture change, a great shift. And I want to lay this out before you, and I'm going to be very sarcastic about it, intentionally. I'm not being mean. But why do people still want to break into the United States of America? I know we're messed up. I know it's not the best place on the planet to walk around. I mean, we could be somewhere else on some deserted island someplace where nobody else lives, and that would be kind of nice for a little bit. But America as a whole, why are people still trying to break into this country to live here? Ask yourself that question. Secondly, do you believe in communism? If you believe in communism, then why haven't you moved to Russia or Cuba? Why are the Cubans trying to come here on those little things they float on? Poor things. Doesn't your heart break for them? Well, you know what? It's very vogue, Pastor, to rag on America and criticize America these days on our college campuses. And many, not all, thank God, but many of our teachers and university campuses are breeding grounds for anti-American thought and thinking. My question is, we shouldn't pay people who bash America U.S. dollars. We should pay them in peanuts, or pay them in salt, or we should pay them in cookies, but you shouldn't pay them in dollars. Why? Because they don't believe in America. And a lot of that's being spewed out on our college campuses. And those of you who are in college, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The amazing thing is America grants the freedom to say such things, even though it's anti-American. Also this, do you believe, for example, in Sharia law? Yes, I do. Well, then why don't you move to Iran or where Saudi Arabia has it completely activated? See, what about this place? Where do these amazing values come from? Did they evolve? No. We go back to the founders. They came from the Judeo-Christian belief. They came from the Magna Carta. They came from what the founders, including the Mayflower Compact, rooted and based in Bible. And they said so. They declared it to be so. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. It's actual history. You may not have been taught that, but unfortunately for you, it is the truth. And the beautiful thing about it is this, that the values that people enjoy here, though they don't agree with the value maker being God, we get to enjoy all of these wonderful perks that a good and gracious God has given this country and this land, but people want to come in and change the culture. That's a serious thing. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. What an awesome thing to do if we live that. Philippians 2, 3, to esteem others more highly than I esteem myself. Is that how our culture is today? Now, granted, listen, what I'm about to say, there is no perfect culture. I understand that. There will not be any perfect culture until we're in heaven. This world has fallen. However, you cannot refute the fact that wherever people believe God and the Bible and apply it to day-to-day living in the world, people are taken care of, people are loved, people are nursed, people are brought back to health, or people are established, and a community cares and watches out for one another. Why? Because those are Judeo-Christian values that make up a culture. You and I and our children are creating a culture right now. The question begs, what kind of a culture are we creating? This is very, very important. You young people who are on college campuses or high school campuses today, you need to be thinking, how am I going to affect my culture for God? And it doesn't mean you pull up your soapbox and start preaching on campus. But I do encourage you to do the absolute best you can in school. Get the best grades you can. Why? Because God honors that. And then listen, go be the best engineer or the best landscaper or the best whatever that you can be in Christ. And I said last time, remember Genesis 1:27, God created us in his own image. The word in Hebrew means God gave us the moral likeness that he has. You love, you dream, you have aspirations, you have compassion. Now, sadly, because we're fallen, for example, God hates with a perfect hatred. And we can't even relate to that. You say, what is that? Oh, yeah, it's true. God hates with a perfect hatred. What does he hate? Does he hate me? No. He hates evil with a perfect hatred. That's how good he is. His hate is even good. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Oh, he's angry with the wicked. Yes, he's angry with the wicked, but the Bible also says that his hand is stretched out and he pleads, why will you die? Come, turn to me, saith the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's not a contradiction. Just because we can't see it, it is the totality of God because he is holy. And he's altogether other than what you and I are. For those of you who don't want anything to do with that or can't fathom that, think of this. God is the ultimate alien. He is God, the Bible says, in that he is spirit. And a big miracle happened, the biggest in my opinion of all, that is for him to come to earth, he put on human skin. That freaks me out. Point number 5, Western civilization versus barbarism. Western civilization versus barbarism. This is something that our kids are contending with in school. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 19, listen, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? Tell them about Jesus. And if they say yes to Jesus, teach them in the ways of Christ. That's the greatest thing you could do for any people, any country. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The American Judeo-Christian culture, my friend, tonight is in crisis. Part of the crisis is because the church has cashed in the Bible for seeker-friendly pep talk lectures instead of sermons. Charles Spurgeon called them sermonettes for Christianettes. By the way, he said that over 150 years ago. We have a new age Christian spirituality, self-help world going on in so-called church. Instead of Christians ingesting the Bible, we're reading this book and 12 steps to that and the purpose-driven life. And hey, you want a purpose-driven life? Read your Bible. That'll purpose drive you. All this stuff. What are we doing? Jeremiah 12, verse 5 says, let me read it in the Old King James. You say, man, that's weird language. Well, listen, I know it's old, but it is really cool right here. Jeremiah 12, 5 says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein you trusteth, they wearied you, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? God is saying, listen, you live in a culture that's changing right beneath your feet. And if you've gotten tired resisting evil right now, God says, you haven't seen nothing yet. Oh, man, I'm so pooped. Oh, I can't believe it. I had to call my congressman. And that doggone pastor, he told us twice this month to call Dianne Feinstein to let my senator know I want her to vote yes or no on this or that. I'm so pooped. Are you kidding? Are you tired in the land of peace? What are you going to do when the chariots arrive? What are you going to do when it gets tough? Jack, you're not encouraging me. Our culture's changing. Our culture's changing. How many of you have children, 2.11 kids? Raise your hand if you have 2.1. We have two kids. That's still not enough to sustain or to advance the culture. How many of you have three kids? Raise your hand right now. Well, how many of you have four kids? Raise your hand. Wow, you're encouraging. How many of you have five kids? Raise your hand. Do I dare go higher? Six kids? More than seven kids? Seven kids. Do I hear seven kids? Hey, we have seven more than seven kids. Wow. Ushers, get that couple of metal now. What does all that mean? Cultural change, cultural shift. Keep this in mind. You might be sitting here tonight saying, I don't care, that's fine. We, you know, whatever. Whoever makes the most babies wins. That's exactly true. That's exactly true. But what's the culture going to be like? What does that culture that's becoming dominant believe? And what has that culture done, I ask you, in other countries where it has become dominant? Look at the other nations. Look at the other countries. Why? Because we're looking at a cultural shift in civilizations. And you just saw the data. By the way, I was talking to a German pastor last week from Germany. Obviously, he's a German pastor from Germany. And he said, yeah, I saw that video. And he said, we in Germany, as our government has announced, it's impossible for us to recover. We'd have to have something like five kids per family. And he said, we don't do that. Our economy can't sustain that. It's amazing. Cultural change. Point number six, being a Christian and being on campus today. Pro-life versus anti-life. You say, anti what? Anti-life. Look, this is my slide. I put up anti-life. Pro-life versus anti-life. That's what it is. Have to be honest about it. Pro-life versus anti-life. That's a big deal. Now listen to this. If there are any biology majors in here tonight, I want you to just listen up on something. This is really basic, but listen. According to just raw science is just the data you gather without interpretation, just raw science, no bias. When does a dolphin become a dolphin? You know a dolphin. When does a dolphin become a dolphin? I need an answer. If you're in the science class, if you're in a biology class, you got to answer that question. When does, you say, well, you know what? It's tissue. Okay. But that's just on the surface. Strip away the tissue and dive into it. What's in the code? When is it a dolphin? Yeah, exactly. When two worlds collide, when an egg and a sperm collide, the information's there in totality. It's a dolphin. If you, by the way, you say, I don't like what you're saying. Doesn't matter. If you pull that out and you didn't label it dolphin, you didn't put dolphin on it, and you walked into the lab next door and you set it down and you had all the students in there say, tell me what that is. They would love the challenge. They would dive into it and figure out, what do we got here? And they would report back to you and say, what would they say? We've got a dolphin here. That's raw science. If you're going to do research on a monkey embryo, that monkey embryo, all the data there is going to announce that it's a monkey. You can call it anything you want. If you get an egg, a chicken egg, and that egg's fertilized, there's evidence that it's fertilized within an instant. You can watch it happen in a microscope, electron microscope. The Bible says in Psalm 139, 16, your eyes saw my substance, God, yet being unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God, how great is the sum of them. God says, I know you, and I knew you before you were even assembled. And God says, I'm in the womb when you're being assembled. Anti-life on our school campuses says things like this. It's my life. Only my life matters to me. As long as I can make my own decisions and do my own thing, it's all about me, and then I'm going to do away with this tissue. Listen, a lot of kids today believe that because they've been told it's just tissue, you can do away with it. It's like an infection. Just get it out. Go and take care of it. I want to give you a verse. This is a serious verse. Remarkable verse. Micah 6, verse 7 says, will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? I mean, I'll just wash my hands over and over again, or I'll just give him all the money or give him everything I can. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my sin? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You see, pro-life, you guys, just intellectually, the moment someone becomes pregnant, that is a miracle from God, he says. And that life's to be defended. You see, Jack, I can't keep the baby. I got to put the baby up for adoption. But listen, God says, I'm there, man. I honor life. I rejoice, by the way. I thank God. In the last 7 years, recent statistics nationwide in America, guess who's becoming the real defenders of the unborn? It's not my age group. It's not the boomers, the baby boomers, who have turned into the baby bummers. You know who's defending the unborn now? The young people, the young generation. That, my friend, is amazing. It's incredible what's going on. Point number 7, on the college campus, you deal with sexuality and humanity. Well, you say, what do you mean sexuality versus humanity? That's exactly what I mean. Human sexuality versus humanity. See, how can human sexuality compete against humanity? It's very simple. Very simple. Students are being bombarded today with misinformation in school books, teachers and systems promoting personal agendas, what's popular, what's culturally trendy, and yet historically dangerous. Human sexuality has been designed by God. Did you know that? How many of you are males in here? Raise your hand. You're a male. Don't raise your hand halfway. How many girls are in here? You're female. Raise your hand. Okay. Did you know there's enough people right here, right now? Not right now. But there's enough people here. There's enough people here to populate the earth. You think about that. Of course, you have to do what? 2.11%. That's just to sustain. You gotta You got to make kids. But how do you make kids? I'm not going to get into the details of that tonight. But how do you make kids? This is a very serious thing, because if you're in a sociology class, you got to figure this one out, man. In a sociology class, trends can really upset your science. Okay? Because, listen to this, Genesis 1:21 says, "So God created great sea creatures and everything living that moves with which the waters abound, according to their kind." Hello? That's amazing. The Bible says according to their DNA. He made sea creatures according to their DNA, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its DNA. "And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, of the fish, and over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Ordered reproduction is how a species continues after its own kind. A male and a female come together. A heterosexual intercourse encounter between a male and a female cannot happen if the species move away from that God-ordained appointment, and a male and a male try to reproduce, or a female and a female try to reproduce. This is a very serious thing. Human sexuality and humanity is a big deal, because what you need to understand is something that, frankly, you're not hearing about in schools. Or maybe you are, but in an interesting way. You guys want to put that slide up? I think this is from Mount SAC. I think this is from Mount SAC. Anyway, this is a public school book, local university campus, college campus. It's going to be hard to read. Okay, a growing body of research suggests that sexual orientation is innate or rooted in human biology in much the same way that people are born right-handed or left-handed. That's a claim in a school book today, from a classroom today. You read that and you go, And then you just read on and ask, what's for lunch? Only problem is, President Bill Clinton commissioned a U.S. Army study in his first year of his presidency to determine if homosexuality is something that you're born with. Because a lot of people are saying that today. U.S. Army Research Laboratory came back and said, there's no evidence.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. That's the title of this series, part two of which we're presenting right here on Real Radio, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus has been featured here on Real Radio in one way or another, either by airing it as much as we can in the time that we have on the radio, or by making it a special offer. Now, as you can imagine, we get a lot of requests from a lot of folks saying, hey, how do I get a copy? Well, of course, our goal really is to simply equip you and to prepare you. So this time, we're going to do both. Not only are we presenting much of it right here on Real Radio, we're also offering it right now as a 2-DVD set for your gift of any amount to this radio broadcast outreach. Of course, by getting the DVD set, you'll see and hear the entire series uncut completely. So let me say that again. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. By the way, as it turns out, this is a pretty good idea for your Sunday school class, too. So whether you call, click, or write, ask for it by name, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.